afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining me around the table, live and in person, I'm assuming vaxxed and boosted, please welcome Molly Ann Hale and Philip Mottas.
That's right.
Hey, all everybody.
Right. That's us. Every bit of that was right.
I call you guys comedians. That's what I refer
to. Thank you so much.
Well, that's what I call you.
I feel seen.
I think that's even gets even more legitimate day by day because Molly actually runs a very successful comedy show in Glendale. That is, I want to say, burning it up.
Is that what the kids say?
That's what the kids say? They're burning it up.
Could you spill the hot tea on this open mic?
And yeah, you've so been many LOLs at this club.
Oh my gosh. We are jam-packed full of LOLs every Wednesday night at the Glendale Room.
It's the Glendale Room.
Yeah,
it's in Glendale. Yeah. Easy
Glendale,
to remember.
Super easy. We were written up by USA Today as
that is big.
Number 4 best mic in Los Angeles.
All right. All right, that's great. And you've been hitting the boards too. Do you host the show or are you part of the show?
I produce the show and I also produce a monthly curated stand-up comedy show at the Glendale Room where we highlight some of our favorites.
Okay, cool. So, this is for open micers or is this for experienced comedians?
The show I run first Saturday of every month, Dahlia Comedy, experienced comedians.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
And how is the comedy scene? What are the young kids bringing?
Oh my gosh. The comedy scene in Los Angeles is so hot right now.
All right.
It is full of a lot of...
Would you say they're burning it up?
Oh, they are.
Would you please, into the microphone.
Up.
Thank you.
They
ow,
are
ow, ow,
burning
I just spilled
up.
Hot tea in my lap.
Lol, lol, lol.
I think we're seeing a real renaissance of stand-up comedy in Los Angeles. You've heard it from me first.
And is it pretty equal... male to female? Are you keeping it equal? Because you're booking
Definitely.
The show.
Oh, yeah. We personally at Dahlia Comedy try to keep it female forward, but I'm just noticing in general there's a lot more women doing stand-up these days, mm-hmm. and there's a lot more opportunity for women to do stand-up these days in Los Angeles.
The show, that's good. Yeah. One of the shows I saw, I want to say it was predominantly, maybe there was one male comic out of 10,
yeah.
you know, or of 8. So it was great.
All right. That's good. Look, I just want to see funny people. I don't care. I don't care what your genitalia look like.
Sure.
Well, no,
We have to see it before you can get on stage. That's the audition.
Those are just COVID restrictions. Though. That's out of your hands. You can't help that.
This guy's got big balls, literally. Go up. Let us hear what you got.
This guy.
Headliner.
This is just under the tag. Big balls, says USA Today.
Now, Philip, you are not only a comedian, you are also a an author of cozy mysteries.
I love how serious your voice is.
That's true. Yeah, well, he got to his NPR level.
Yeah, I know. So are you working on another cozy mystery?
I am. I'm always doing that. In fact, the second in my series, The Psychic Barber Mysteries, is coming out November 2022.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah,
that's not 2023. That's this year.
That's this freaking year. Yeah.
Real
soon.
Is the person who designed the previous cover also designing this cover?
I will not let him go. Yes.
Don't let him go.
No, he did great.
That was my favorite part about the book.
It was good.
I also I got so fixated on the cover, couldn't open it up.
You should. It's awesome.
Couldn't open it up.
Story.
As long as you paid full price and left a review about how good that cover was. Doesn't matter. No, Stephen Lawrence is a great asset that I happen to be lucky enough to know and am clinging to. And I'm like, I hope I don't bother you too
Very nice. What's the color palette going to be?
This one, I'll share it with you. It's sort of a more dark blue and light blue and then like a big splash of like orangey desert red.
Sweet.
Nice.
I like it.
It's called The Homicidal Hairstyle of the Viral Video Vixen.
Nice.
And so this time there are...
I don't know what you just said, but I just... Yeah. The way she reacted, it's got to be good.
Oh,
it's got to be good.
It's burning it up. No, this time it still takes place around L.A., but this time more in the YouTube viral video world where an online celeb has gone missing and presumed kidnapped.
Nice.
I like it.
Sinister.
And now, since this is a series, do you already have the next couple like mapped out in your head? Like,
I
you
do.
Know what they're going to be?
Yeah, yeah. I understood that it's, I mean, it's hard no matter what, releasing a book or writing a book,
sure.
and getting anybody to pay attention to it. So a big thing that a lot of people said was that series are often make things more popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like,
yeah.
oh, this person has a lot of books. So I actually wrote drafts of four before I even published the first one.
Perfect.
And so, yeah, the next one casually should take place in a weird music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth one, I'm hoping, will involve a certain theme park that, for legal reasons, I will not name.
But has a whale named Shmamoo.
I was actually thinking more in Orange County, but
okay.
sure. Yeah, either one. But yeah.
Is,
yeah,
this,
you know,
is this Dago land?
Yeah, it's...
oh, no, that's just where Italians hang out.
Jesus.
Never mind. Okay.
That's a perfect transition to our theme.
Yeah,
our
yeah.
theme, for sure. For sure. Well, I'm so happy that that another book is coming out this year.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I should put you in touch with a couple of my friends that write books. Dean Kuntz. Also, you can find this guy in the K is also Stephen King.
The political guy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Let me ask one more book writing question.
He's French.
Is the second book coming easier or more? Is it more difficult?
Some yes, some no. Some of it, prior to this, I think primarily like when Molly and I had written together mm-hmm. and other people and writing on my own, it was all kind of like, it was either sketches or screenplays and stuff that were kind of like one-off things. And I wasn't really a series person.
Yeah.
And that was part of why I wanted to see, do I have more than one in me with this character? Because if I don't have more than one, I might just,
yeah.
how much
think,
work to
think
work
of another character.
Yeah. Which would be challenging, but, some of it has come kind of easy. Honestly, the weirdest challenge that I found was I made like a big timeline of events in a spreadsheet for the first book of like, and then I went back and was like, okay, so if she's, you know, say 27 at mm-hmm. this point, that means she's born about here. And then I had fun thinking like, okay, so what music would she have been into?
Oh, that is cool.
And
then insert
yeah,
that
insert,
kind of stuff into the
stuff
book.
In.
Yeah.
And then plot stuff in that. So then when I started writing the second book, jamming along, and I'm like, oh, I need like some earlier event that something happened. I was like, wait. I just literally published that events happen at a certain time. So now I have to check my thing and I'm like figuring out like, okay, so if that happened here, then that means that can't. How do I? So that's been kind of a challenge.
Gotcha.
Just like trying to figure out in sequels not to undo stuff.
Two words for you to fix all of that. Time machine.
Done.
Or time travel.
Time
However,
travel. No
you want to make up your own way to time travel, you
yeah,
can.
Sure.
But time travel.
My soft reboot will take care of all of
solves
that.
Solves it all.
Easy time travel problems. Time travel, yeah, it totally fixes everything. That's
sure
complicated.
Yeah, it's not confusing.
Ask the Terminator series. Those
Works.
Things have gone great.
Oh my God. Those seven movies with one good one are so
seamless.
Yeah. Cringy songs. Cringeworthy. I'm
yeah.
calling this cringeworthy.
Very.
I think we talked about this when you guys were on. This is funny. I actually promised this topic to you guys and to two other people, and you guys won. Although we can do it again with two other people.
Yeah, no, I think we won. I like to say that
did.
A couple
yeah,
times
yeah.
out loud. We're the winners here.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah. We're winners.
First place.
We won. Yeah,
yeah
we're first.
But yeah.
Those other guys are second, sloppy seconds.
Yeah, the gold. You got the gold.
Yeah, we got the gold.
But these are songs with cringy lyrics or lyrics that
yeah.
haven't stood the test of time.
Yeah.
Pretty much any song with the word teen in it.
Yeah.
Can be.
I mean, at one point I was like, I'm just going to bring in a bunch of teen songs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I wanted to get more creative than that because
yeah.
that seemed too obvious.
I almost did
almost.
That too. I'm like, yeah, I'll just go in my iTunes library and type in teen.
Yeah, yeah.
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 And get on a list.
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, well, and Molly, you were saying it was like a challenge of this was trying to only pick six.
Yeah.
Because there's some
many.
Artists really like they found
well,
their
thing. Well, the 1950s
thing.
Were not a good time for consent in songs. In general,
it's
you
not
know.
Known. Not known as the era of consent.
yeah.
Before we start, I have to delete all Marilyn Manson songs from my iTunes library because I watched the Evan Rachel Wood documentary over the past 2 days.
Oh wow!
And
unsettling.
I'm everyone's gone. Everyone's in Boston this week, so I'm just here with the cat, and that's not something that my wife would probably enjoy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, well, I'll watch this because I'm interested. And yeah, it's...
It's unfortunate.
It's, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and, I didn't even...
But it's... Mm. Did you watch that NXIVM documentary about the NXIVM cult?
No.
Oh, well, no, it has the same tone as that. So,
oh, really?
Like, in my head, I always...
NXIVM is the sex cult?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I always make these... Oh, it's so good.
NXIVM?
NXIVM, yes.
No, they drove right by it.
Yep. They're not good with branding.
That was their main issue.
So sometimes,
that was their main issue, not good with branding.
So I was reading about this Evan Rachel Wood documentary, and in your head, you because we're creative people, and you're a writer, and you're a writer, so you can make it seem like it's going to be really crazy. And it is crazy, but I was able to get through it.
Okay.
You know, watching it at five increments at a time over days. But yeah, so I just wanted to make sure I did
but
not.
But now you're like, oh, well... Yeah.
I know. But I do recommend it because it's important because they changed legislation so that the statute of limitations could be
longer.
They wanted it to be 10 years.
Sure.
They didn't get it to be 10 years, but they did get it to be a year or two longer, which is important stuff.
Like,
sure.
Related to that, I didn't watch that, but I did watch that. Is it called We Gotta Talk About Cosby?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kamau documentary. And they mentioned the statute of limitation there, too. So, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
Because a lot of these women, like, well, your time's up for complaining. You're like, oh, God, great. You 75 people or however many. Yeah.
I'm friends with a comedian from the 70s, and I don't want to mention his name, but he told me a story that he would always play in Vegas, and Cosby would always be there, and they both played tennis, so they would play tennis with each other. Mm. And he said Cosby was hitting on this tennis waitress, like constantly asking her out for dinner. And she would just like giggle, you know, and laugh because everyone knew Bill Cosby was married, et cetera. But then finally she agreed to go out with him. So a couple weeks later, the comedian I knew ran into her and he said, hey, because he's not thinking anything. He knows Bill's married, but he's like, well, that's how Bill is. But he was just like, he said to her, how was your date with Bill? And he said she was just white.
Oh, man.
And he's just like, he goes, and I back then I just thought, oh, it must not have gone well. He goes, but now.
Yeah.
Now we know.
My memory is crap right now, but I want to say, and it's hard because there's just so many allegations, but I think there's a story that's very similar. I mean, they're all like.
Yeah.
Sickeningly similar, but there's definitely talk of tennis, so I don't even know if it's her specifically or what, but
the thing that was good about that documentary is the way they were like, he did all these great things for these colleges and organizations, but he was shitty. You know what I mean? So it was like they didn't come down just on this thing. They did shine a light on the good things they did, and trust me, all the good things he did doesn't make anything over here better at all.
No.
But it was an interesting documentary. And
Weird. Yeah.
I know.
I guess we're bound to talk about it, I suppose, with this type of thing. But
we've got to talk about Cosby. Well, it's right in the title.
It's all about power.
We need to.
Yeah.
It's all about power. Yeah.
For a second, Pat, let's let the woman talk.
Ugh. When I say so.
I'll just sit and wait until you.
No, but you're, but yeah, it, yeah, it's clear. Yeah, just blah, blah.
Yeah,
gross.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch it again. all right, we will.
That rewatch was way funnier.
You pick up on a lot of things you missed.
Easter eggs.
I'm gonna go first, because. It's easier for me to go boom, boom, boom. Now, sure, I could go boom, boom, boom. I could even go boom, boom, boom. But it's just easier if I start first.
Sure. I got all of that.
I want you to go boom, boom, boom.
All right. So let's start with, when I give you the song title.
Yeah.
Some of these songs are either like, I don't want to call them hidden gems, but like the reason comes out through it. And others, I was surprised as you were asking us for our titles and like when to start them.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of mine were like right from the beginning.
Yeah, beginning, the whole song.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
You, dealer's choice.
That's so true. That's so true.
So yeah, it's.
When I name the band, it's Kiss.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. that's
the song title is called, Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Burn, bitch, burn.
Oh, hey.
So that
he's talking about his mother.
Yeah. And here we go. Here we go. Bend over, baby. Let me be the driver.
Oh, thank you. Great.
Thank you.
I'm going to jump ahead to the bad part. It's coming up. Here we go. I want to put my log in your fireplace.
This is like, when did this song come out?
She has an STD.
Is it pre or post Spinal Tap? That's
this
my
is
question.
This is 1984. So
post.
Yeah, post.
Wow,
it's a terrible, terrible song. It's just awful. I mean, it's not like it's a good song, and then you're like, oh, I never heard that lyric before.
Yeah.
It's just like in your face. Cringe. Cringe, bitch, cringe is what it should be called.
Yes.
Just so terrible.
Wow. Yeah, what do you say?
There's nothing to say.
Yeah.
I'm just the words, I want to put my log in your fireplace, just makes me laugh.
Like too subtle, Gene?
Yeah. It's like not even trying. Like every Kiss song is a first draft. It really is. It's
somehow
like,
we nailed it the
there
first
you go.
Time every
there
time.
You go.
I still like Kiss, even though I know they're terrible.
Yeah,
and
same here.
I think that's like America, you know?
Sure.
We know that some things are awful, and we like them anyway.
Yeah.
We're kind of addicted to mm-hmm. their,
yeah.
you know.
There's something about, and I've tried to like sort of reconcile that with these artists that we like, of the idea of, you know, like, the sort of boys will be boys mentality that
yeah.
went for so long, right?
Yeah, for like 50 years, for, boys will be
well,
boys.
For
50
years. I was going to say for a million years, yeah. minus 50.
Yeah.
All right.
But in music, yeah, 50 yeah. years. And some of that, like, I know I'm guilty of, like, some of the artists I have on here where I'm like, I'm sure I just kind of wave this off as like, dirtbag's gonna dirtbag, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, be a dirtbag. And you're like, oh, crap, do I play this in the car with my kid?
Yeah.
It's also wild when you hear a song that you've loved and all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute.
It suddenly dawns
on
you.
Like, I got one
yeah.
of those.
Whoa.
A cringe grenade.
A cringe grenade. Ooh, I love that.
I got one of those for sure.
All right. Well, I boomed and now we're going to go boom over here with Molly. What's your first tune, Molly?
I think I gave you the Ramones Smasher.
Now that's about
smash
having
you.
Sex, though, right? I'm gonna let's smash
well,
it.
Is
Molly
it?
Molly tried no.
In 1984, also 1984.
Oh, the peak,
the
of-
peak of cringe. All right, you ready? Oh,
yeah.
By the way, before I play this, did you guys know that Richie Ramone played a show here Friday night?
No.
Yeah, I follow him on social media.
I did not know.
Did
that.
You go?
No, I was getting back from the burn, bro.
I found, of course, I found this happens so often. I found out about it yesterday.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Because
right,
I'm like,
right.
oh, I would have gone to that
yeah.
Friday night.
No,
yeah.
I had no idea.
All right, here's the Ramones.
Yeah.
Smash
is,
you.
This is Richie's song, by the way.
Yes,
yeah,
it
yeah.
is. That's what made me.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Are the Ramones like one of the kings of like 99% amazing, but the 1%
like whoa.
Cuts them down?
Yeah,
you know,
it's
like there's
uh-oh.
So many times like you're like, I love that song.
It's a great song.
But yeah. you're
the
like,
tune is
ugh.
Very yeah. catchy. Yeah.
Oh,
I also
it.
I just wanted to sidebar and say, you know, thank you for giving me the opportunity to just Karen out here this afternoon and just point fingers at those yeah, who are doing
yeah, yeah.
wrong in society.
If there's anything anybody expects from a rock music podcast with comedians on it, it's judgment.
I'm actually live posting right now on Nextdoor as we do this. So that everyone knows where we are and what's happening.
We're watching.
Where we are.
How?
Oh, man.
How much better was the production on that Ramones song than on that Kiss song? That it's like
great.
Awful.
I mean, the Ramones producers knew
were
what
good.
They were doing.
Yeah.
That was the that was another Tommy Time.
Tommy
too.
Time. Oh, that was Tommy
that was
Time.
Him coming back. Yeah. No, that was our thing.
I like Tommy Time. I just like the phrase Tommy Time. Hashtag Tommy Time.
So fun little nugget with that.
Yeah.
Bringing back to what you said, it might be about them having sex or something. So when we did our show, Ramones of the Day, our guest when we covered this song was Molly's mom.
Okay. All right.
Melanie.
So I can't remember if she liked it. I kind of think she didn't like
it. No, we got into a whole conversation about, you know, abuse. About girlfriend abuse and how common it was for women to get beat up in the 70s and how they didn't have avenues to talk about it. And
another,
so a lot of women suffer.
Another classic Ramones of the Day episode.
Yes.
So now whenever I hear that song, I always think of Molly's mom and her thinking like, what have you done to me? What?
But I don't think this song is about sex. I think it's like,
it's
why you make me hit you, Tina, you know?
Yeah. Like, what is it? He says, knock some sense into you. It's like, all your talk about suicide. I'm like, ugh, never.
I know, it's rough.
Yeah,
it's just rough.
Oh, you guys. But then I think there's like an apologist out there who's like, but they're punk rock, so they're supposed to be like this. And
yeah,
I want
to
say we've gone by that
hit
now.
Yeah. Girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know? But it's weird how rock music like couches that stuff. You know, like that that shield is there. It's like, oh, they're misbehaving. So, you know. Oh, great.
They're misbehaving.
You know, generally.
You're like the principal in Rock and Roll High School. Yeah. These kids are misbehaving.
I am. I applied that in there.
All right. Now, here's a teen song from...
Oh,
are we going with your teen song?
You
can call them out of order.
I was not going to go with the teen song.
Okay, then we won't.
I was going with another class of my favorite dirtbags.
Okay. Yeah. You love
the Rolling Stones.
Okay, yeah, yeah. They got a ton of them.
Yeah. Well, we're kind of sticking... They do.
They do have a ton
really
of them.
Do.
Yeah.
Again, it was hard to pick just one. And I'm not saying this is the worst one, but this is the title track from Some Girls.
Yep. A great album.
Great album that has some lyrics that I believe we may be playing that when the Stones play it live now, they do not sing them. So somehow the lyrics for this song made Keith Richards and Mick Jagger like, oh, we should pull back. Oh, I don't know about that one.
It's a little too much.
A little too much, even for us.
So this is the title track, Some Girls.
This is it.
Oh, boy.
Are we going to get
so much fun
this episode?
No.
Why? We're shining a light on it. We're protecting women.
We're like
protecting women.
That's what we're doing.
We are so brave.
By the way, this is a safe place for you.
Thank you.
Obviously, with our super aggressive male band that we're just blasting in your ear all the time, listen to this.
I feel safe.
I talked to Philip and I said, let's make her so uncomfortable. When Molly gets here, just play it.
We'll just put a lawyer outside.
Yeah, exactly. All right, here we go. Some Girls.
That's one of the lines that cut.
Yeah.
Chinese girls are so gentle. They're really such a tease.
Yeah, just...
You never know quite what they're cooking inside those silky sleeves.
It's sexist, it's racist, it's everything.
It's got it all.
It's got it all.
Got it all.
They really pack it in there.
We all will go.
I I want to say there's even like footage when they, you know, when they release the album, they have a press tour, and, right. you know, for their tour or whatever, and they ask them why they called the album Some Girls, and I'm pretty sure it's Keith Richards says something like, "There's too many of them," you know, and you're like, oh, and it gets a huge laugh in the room.
Yeah.
And you're like, but it's, I'm sure for myself growing up, I was like, those charming dirtbags.
Yeah.
Like, great, they're doing that behavior that I can't do and I would never do. But now it's like, oh, they should never do that.
Yeah.
Why are we doing
this? And then this album also has the lyric, and I won't say the word, but it's the derogatory word for homosexual that begins
oh, yes.
with F.
Yes.
Gay in New York is just a...
That
in L.A. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Same album.
When the Whip Comes Down.
Yep.
It was... Yep, it's a great album.
One of the best.
No, it's... This is a real... This is going to be a fun show.
Well, it's going to be fun when you find out that even the lads from Liverpool can be a little cringy.
Oh, yeah.
And this is from Rubber Soul. This is Run For Your Life.
Well, I'd rather see a dead little girl than to be with another man. Right off the bat. Right
at... Yep.
Keep your head, little girl. I won't know where I am. You better run for your life if you can.
Run for your life.
Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man. It's times like this when you really should have a video on, not to put Molly on the spot, but her reaction.
Yeah.
I've never heard this song before
in my life.
Yeah, that's from Rubber Soul, one of their
best
albums.
Well, I can see why they don't play it on the radio.
I mean, that is just right from the top, like you said.
Yeah, yeah, and it's weird too. Like, you have these writers. I mean, all these artists we're talking about. So many of them that we're going to be talking about are like some of the best. So like. That song, Run For Your Life, is so catchy. And, like, the melody is perfect. Yeah. So it's like, yes, I will be humming.
I played it at my wedding.
I will be humming.
it was our first dance.
Yeah.
But what I mean is that, like, it kind of makes it even, like, less ignorable.
Yeah.
You know, there's, like, that's they were pop geniuses. So, of course, it's like, oh, a hooky thing about I'd rather see you die than get away from me.
And how did this even get on the album? They have so many songs. Like, this one could have been like, you know what? Put that back in the drawer.
You know, we're going to get to it, but there's at least one more song on this list that we're going to play today about killing your spouse. And that's like considered like a kind of genre of music.
My favorite genre.
Where's your wife? Did you say?
She's Boston.
Out of town, Pat?
Oh, Boston what?
Mm-hmm. Boston floorboards.
I knew it.
Oh my God, this is a real episode of The Murderous Haircut.
That's right. That's right.
Yep, I hijacked it into that. These are easy stories to write.
But some people consider that kind of like genre, like folk genre, you know, a thing to do, which I think is becoming less and less in fashion than it was, say, in the mid century.
How much?
1950s.
You think it'll come back?
Well, I was going to say, how much of that do we chalk up to, like, we're geniuses here. Like, how much do you retroactively go back, like, if you were to meet Paul McCartney today, would you say, like, hey, man,
not cool.
You know, I don't believe that they did those things, but they wrote this song with these questionable lyrics, so, like, but it was so many years ago, not that it was great then, but like now, how much do I bring 2020 eyes to
this
awkward dinner I'm about to have with Paul McCartney?
Did not have context for, you know, being woke, I guess you could say, like different social norms at that time. It's not cool, but also I didn't live in the 1950s. I have no idea what it was like to have my head in the sand.
And I feel like Paul McCartney or the Rolling Stones, they've been married, they have children, they have grandchildren. So obviously they're not thinking lyrics like this in 2022. Now, if you're a member of Motley Crue, you're still writing this bullshit.
Totally.
And you think it's funny and you think it's fun. So, although McCartney did write this song, just not on the most recent album, but the one before. It's called, have you heard this song?
I don't know.
I feel like I should just play it because you won't believe it. And this is kind of cringy.
Okay.
It's from his album, Egypt. Excuse me. I always say Egyptian Station, but it's Egypt Station. It's from 2018. Okay?
Far too late. Recent.
All right, so
get ready.
Go.
I'm scared.
You should be.
Come on, baby, now. Let me look at you. Talk about yourself. Try to tell the truth. I could stay up half the night trying to crack your code. I could stay up half the night.
Is this him singing?
But yeah. Rather hit the road. He's 100.
On the night that I met you, I was on the town.
Wait for it. It's the chorus.
On the night that I met you, I just want to know.
It's spelled F U H.
Come on.
I just want to fuck you.
No.
It's not like they bleeped it out. That's what the song's called. It's called Fuck You.
Lame.
That is so. That's a different kind of cringe.
Yeah.
Where like I went around the world with this, where like at beginning I was kind of like, this doesn't, like, this sounds kind of lame. And then the production sounded great. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be like a waste of resources.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what a turd of a line.
What a turd of a line.
That's
because
so
it could be anything other than pho. It could be, yeah. I just want to hold you. I just want to love you. Yeah. I just want to kiss you. But I just want to pho you. You're 88.
And you can't bring yourself to say it, but you want to sing it, and you wrote it.
So
yeah. What?
Lame.
And he performed it on this tour. He performed it on that tour in 2018. What are you doing?
The producers are the problem.
Thanks for the bathroom break.
What are you doing? I mean, you can't really tell Paul McCartney no, though, do you?
Yeah, I mean, at some point.
He'll fuck you up. You just can't.
Maybe he's gone. Okay, so that's the story, is somewhere along the line, Paul McCartney thought that that word was fuck, and no one had the balls to tell him otherwise. And so he's been going around town and was like, I told this motherfucker he had to kiss my fun ass. And you're like, should we tell him he's saying that wrong?
Nah, let him go.
Just let him go. And then meanwhile, the 70s,
he's 80s, 90s,
he's paying for dinner. He's paying for dinner.
4 decades go by. This man's still saying pho.
No one will tell him.
Oh my
that
God.
Is genius, well,
even your wife should say, honey.
Oh.
It's not,
babe.
Not cool.
No.
No,
you don't want to.
Oh, that was bad.
What's your next song, Molly?
I mean, I think we can just roll right into Guns N' Roses.
Oh my God. I forgot.
I had
about
to kill
song.
Her.
Jesus.
I used to love her.
Thank you.
Another very catchy song.
It's very easy to sing along with.
Yeah, and it's acoustic, so you're not expecting to be...
Like, dude, I'm not a lyric... Like, the way I listen to music is usually not that I'm paying that much attention to the lyrics.
Okay.
Like, that usually comes to me later. But I kind of feel like sometimes it was like, this should just... If this were in a language I didn't understand, my life would be much less complicated.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right, here we go.
Right off the bat.
Bitchin', fussin', cussin'. Just some fun guys in the studio.
Just hanging out.
Eating yogurt. I used to love her. That's nice.
Yeah.
But I had to kill her.
Ooh,
wait, what?
Uh-oh. Not so nice.
I used to love her.
Yeah, tambourine work.
Yeah, yeah, it's like it's the cow sills.
Yeah.
And I can still hear her complain.
Is it any better if they weren't super duper stars? I mean, it's not, but like, it's worse that they're like, this was like their second album out after a multi-platinum album, and you're like, hey, we've got the world's ear.
I'm sure they thought this was the coolest song ever.
Yeah, they probably did.
Yeah.
I didn't want to pick it, but the next or second, the last song on the album is even worse.
Actually,
One in a Million.
And One in a Million, like these tracks, they re-released Appetite for Destruction with a bonus disc, and they included the tracks from, what was this album called?
Lies.
Yes, but they did not... One in a Million's not on there.
Really?
So they realized that wasn't good.
So again, somehow Axl and Slash were like, ooh, we should pull this back.
Yeah, yeah. Axl, two people with that don't have real names.
What, Slash isn't a real name? Mm. I thought it was Slash Jr. the Third.
He's from the...
My theory always with Guns N' Roses was... The only person that could have a regular name was the drummer, because you had Steven and Matt.
Yes.
And then there was Izzy, Dizzy, Duff Axl, and Slash.
Yeah, you're right.
Izzy, Dizzy, Duff Slash. Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a cartoon.
They got a guy named John. They're like, he plays great, but that name's gonna go.
Yep.
It sounded how dirtbag are you?
It sounded like I named the Animaniacs, but I didn't. That was Guns N' Roses.
It really did. Man.
All right, what are you gonna?
I'm gonna take us back to the Ramones, in a different way.
Okay.
I am playing from what is it?
From
end of the century.
1980.
This Ain't Havana.
Oh shoot.
Yeah.
Political.
So it's cringy because it's political?
Yeah, this is. I tried to give us a bit of a spectrum.
Yeah, you really did.
While we could spend all day talking about songs that abuse women and teenagers.
Misogyny, sure.
There's worse things, like GOP talking points that just hit you, and you're like, it's like Tucker Carlson alive in a song.
Yeah.
Well, I respect that you brought something different, and sadly, I'm one note. But This Ain't Havana.
I have learned.
They did give us Bonzo Goes to Bitburg, though.
It's what is that? The Fair Doctrine? You know, it's like they had to give airtime to both sides.
Exactly.
But it plays kind of like the, hey, all lives matter of punk song. You know, you know what I mean?
But
that thing of like, I had no advantage over. As soon as you hear that, you're like, okay, you're not listening to what this person, who is probably not like you,
right?
Yeah.
is saying. And yeah. So you're like, oh, and that's another one that I'm totally guilty of, where like, I mean, Joey Ramone is singing in his way, so it's not like diction is not his big thing. And I'm just like, yeah, this song is bouncy and catchy and blah.
I actually think it's not that interesting as far as their songs go. It's kind of a mishmash of a bunch of their other songs.
It's not the greatest song.
It's not the greatest song.
No, if I was listening to End of the Century, I would that might be one I would just skip I was in the car.
It's honestly one of my maybe least favorites.
Yeah.
Well. Well, now you have another reason for it.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was my first reason, of course.
I had no advantages over you. It was like, all right, so you don't acknowledge that. Okay, great.
Right.
Got it. I know where we're coming from.
Got it. Yeah, the Ramones were, you know, some of the greatest musicians of all time, and they also had some horrible songs. Not a lot, but like you know,
they did their part.
A couple they could have skipped.
They helped.
Yeah,
they helped.
They fought it up sometimes.
Yeah. Hey, everyone's gonna fa up.
Fa up. Oh man.
man,
I'm so fa right now.
Man, that is that. I'm gonna carry that one for me the rest.
That was a real gem. We all learned something here today.
I'm gonna go back to 1976.
Yeah.
A band called Styx.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a song called Jennifer. Now, when this song was written, Dennis DeYoung wrote this when he was 29. And here's what he thinks about...
Great.
Here we
go. I like where this is going.
That's nice.
That sounds nice. Jennifer.
Sure. She drinks a sherry wine. She keeps the ladies long for me all the time. What? She's 17. Barely old enough to cry. I mean, a lot of things. I know, Pat, we keep running by the other gems by our barfing.
Okay, I'll read it to you.
Go for it.
She's 17, barely old enough to cry, which is what?
Horrifying.
Yeah, you're painting a bad picture.
Yeah, a child in her father's eyes, a woman every night.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Man.
gross.
I don't understand why the dudes who write songs always have to call her out by her age.
It is weird.
Yeah, it's very strange.
It is so weird. Like, okay, you're sleeping with teenagers. Why are you bragging about it in your song? This is creepy.
Maybe I haven't listened to enough modern music, but I would almost think there'd be a movement to go the other way. It's like, she's 22 and in charge of her body. You know, like put it in there because it's going to come out in court. Dude.
When she says no, I know that means no.
You know that there's a subgenre of music that is going to come out that probably is like apologizing for, you know.
But it's funny that, like you say, like 17, it was like, it's never 19.
Mm-hmm.
No one sings about 19-year-olds.
But no women are writing songs that were like, he was 16. Yeah. Like, who cares?
I know. Yeah. But the thing is, a lot of these songs, when I first heard them, I was a teenager.
Yes.
So when you're singing about a girl that's 17 and I'm 16, I'm like, cool.
They're writing it for the people who are buying the music.
Yeah. I wondered obviously the same thing sometimes.
But then when you look at the ages that they
but
were when they wrote
creepy
it, they're like twice yeah as old. So why are you, it just yeah doesn't make sense. It's
yeah
weird.
It's yeah, you're right. I wonder how much of that, some of my picks are that way where like, am I supposed to believe you are saying this, or is this for a genre of music that was designed for teenagers? But now that we're 20 years removed from that, you're like,
I mean, I get the business model for sure. I'm not an idiot, you know, but it's just, if you really take a step back from being in the business and just think about it, it is just the creepiest
yeah
of creeps.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, my youngest daughter is 17. She'll yeah be 18 next month. So
she's
that's when all
kid
these
in daddy's eyes,
all these songs hit me differently now.
Totally.
As you know, it's just
yes
it's crazy. All right, Molly, what do you got for us?
All right, I'm gonna keep it on this
yeah
teen train.
Well,
I like
really,
the teen.
Oh,
train.
I like
really
the teen train. Wild.
There's only 17 that's cars.
That's still how Motley Crue travels when they tour. They take
train
the teen train.
The teen train. Oh,
and the Gene
good
Simmons line is something about the teen train going in the tunnel, right, guys?
Yeah,
one
right
draft, did it again.
It's a steam engine, so he's always putting logs in the fireplace.
One draft, did it again. I chose Hey 19 by Steely Dan.
All right, getting a little older. Almost,
yeah, right,
almost.
Sure, she's almost had her period.
So somebody does sing about 19.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we go, Hey 19.
I mean, I love Steely Dan, so I'm just going to preface this. He has to teach her about music.
Oh, God.
She don't remember Queen of Soul.
She's too young. She's a baby.
Hard times have fallen. Soul survivors. She thinks I'm crazy, but I'm just growing old.
He's an old man.
Hey, 19.
Yep. Molly,
nothing
your songs are making me look for other songs.
Oh, there's so many. I mean, I love this song. Who hasn't grooved to that song?
I know.
Song?
It's yacht rock. Yacht rock
oh,
can't
it's,
be
it's literally
gross
about an old man. It's like the Lolita. I mean, it's literally
yes
a Lolita song.
Yeah. It's Woody Allen's Manhattan.
It
in
really
film,
is.
In
yeah,
music.
In wow jazzy time signatures with
yeah,
a
that's,
rock feel.
But that's what I was trying to say earlier with those other songs where it's like, there's something about it that feels innocuous.
Yeah.
Because they're just very good songwriters.
That are, maybe my brain has been conditioned to be like, oh, yeah, cool. You know, just go along with it. Don't worry about those details.
Don't worry about that child rape. Don't worry about that.
Here's a song by Steely Dan. I don't know if you know the song Cousin Dupree.
Yeah.
Booked a lot of no baggage from keyboard man in a rock and ska band, the hall and boss.
Now, in a minute, his cousin Janine's gonna walk in.
Back home to plan my next move from the comfort of my Aunt Faye's couch. When I see my little cousin Janine walk in, well, all I could say was ouch. Honey, how you've grown.
Oh,
like a rose.
Boy.
Well, we used to play when we were three. How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree?
Oh, my God. So
it's an incest song. How about a kiss for your cousin Dupree? What?
Oh, Dupree.
So I listened to a show that was talking about, there's recently been a caught on film.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan's son is dating Scottie Pippen's ex-wife.
Okay.
Which Whoa. Is kind of hilarious because like Pippen and Jordan are already like kind of at odds.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
almost
yeah.
feels like Jordan saying, like, we're going to really get that guy. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to date his wife.
Yep. Do
but,
it.
But the people talking about the story were like, they were like unsettled by it because it's like, I know that woman knew that kid when they were a kid.
Yeah.
And
she wiped ice cream off his
yes.
face.
Oh, that's yes. Creepy.
Like she spit on a tissue and wiped
his
face.
Yeah, and it feels
face.
Like the same type of story here where it's yeah, like, yeah. oh yeah, we used to play this and now. I'm like,
yeah, we used to play when we were three. Yeah.
That awesome. Is a total creep factor.
Yeah.
That I agree. Like if you meet somebody a lot younger than you, I don't think there's something necessarily wrong with that if you guys fall in love. But yeah, if you knew that person when they were in diapers,
just saying,
and
there's
you
a million
saw them
people
grow
out
from
there.
A child, yeah. like that is so icky.
Very
to me.
Strange. Yes. Very
very
weird.
Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, that cousin Dupree.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That guy's
really makes
he's a family
think.
Man.
He's a scamp,
he's a
isn't
family
he?
Man.
He's a
yeah.
family man.
I'll be here all week.
Well, that's a weird thing too, is there's no in these, I can't pick up on it quite if it's supposed to be satirical, because you could, I could see.
Yeah, and Steely yeah. Dan are smart dudes, yes, man. Sure. They're no Dan. Yokels, you
right,
know?
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, it's possible they're just writing a Lolita song as, you know, I don't really know enough about Steely Dan. I'm sure there's a million Steely Dan mm-hmm. fans that are going to immediately comment on
yeah.
this
Steely
episode.
Fans.
And yeah, thank you.
Steely fans.
Exactly.
For them. Like there's a song
you're hired.
There's a song that, like Ted Nugent has a song that I'm not going to play,
oh,
but it's called Jailbait.
Oh yeah. yeah, yeah.
And there's a line where he goes, "I don't care if you're just 13."
Yeah.
Great. Really?
Wonderful.
You don't.
You don't.
Really?
It's fine.
Really, Nuge.
Oh,
really.
Man, we'll never not bag on the Nuge.
he asked for. He's like, "I'm having sex with your teen daughters." Really, Nuge?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what, yeah.
And then he plays Wang Dang Sweet Poontang. Okay.
Is it like an Arrested Development thing where like they were young when they started? I'm not trying to justify, but I'm trying to understand.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
I don't
like,
think there's any way to understand
wanna,
it.
Do you just yeah. not want to grow up? And you're like, well, this is one way that I cling to that. I don't know.
I mean, also, it starts to get weirder and weirder because in my mind, I'm already justifying like, oh, it could potentially be okay to be a 40-year-old man writing about having sex with a 60-year-old girl if you're writing it for a teen audience who's going to be buying these albums. But there are some songs where it like, gets even weirder where it's like, I don't care if they're 13 and I want to dress them up in suits. And like, wait, why are we getting so specific?
I got an AARP card and I don't care how young you are.
I like applesauce. Like, it's like, okay.
There's, look, like, what if I was writing a YA novel? You know, I would, yeah. wouldn't be writing
yes.
as a man.
Yeah,
I would be writing
true.
To...
That's a great comparison.
And again,
that's a great comparison.
By saying that, I've just qualified all these songs are fine.
So that's...
Well,
but,
is
but
that the
that's
question?
Different. That's, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, are we just in a meta place in the universe where maybe pop songs just should be held to a different, you know, level at this point in time and we can't really...
I think it's
hate
a,
on.
I think it's a little different though with the YA comparison because in that vein you are giving it to someone else to
yes
to like for example I'll never miss an opportunity to talk about myself but I'm trying to get an audiobook version for my books.
Okay.
The main protagonist is a woman, so I don't want a guy
reading
that because
yeah.
you're like that's not what that is. Mm. That's like verging into this where it's like Nugent is this and he is clearly telling me that's what this is. The Rolling Stones are clearly telling me.
Oof,
so you know
Stones.
Like if they wrote a song and then gave it to somebody that's different, but this is mm-hmm. not this seems like people writing what they know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You write what you know.
Yeah.
Would that be okay if the voiceover actor doing the audiobook, if when he read the woman's parts, if he read it like,
okay, honey.
Yeah, or like, I was thinking at least Monty Python levels of sophistication.
Like when Dice Clay does an impression of his wife.
On Dice Clay.
Dice, I just want to make you some eggs. Dice,
shut up, honey.
Yeah.
Maybe that.
I had to kill.
It plays perfectly with the tone that I was going for.
Perfectly.
You are
that's
up.
That's me. Okay.
You are up.
Oh, yeah. That was
so
funny.
So yeah, I'm diversifying us a bit. My next song is from Devo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
From their
first
album. This was a surprise. So this one I know I have personally cringed from because I really like Devo and I love this album. But when this song comes on, I sing it. If I'm singing it out loud and people are around, I sing it as like Mama's Boy
instead of the title, yeah,
which is Mongoloid.
Yeah.
Which I cringed writing it down and saying now, looking at people in their eyes. But yeah. They lean into it, and here we are.
Here we go.
Do they do it on tour?
I didn't look that up.
Oh,
I imagine for a time. I'm sure they did.
I'm sure they did when the album was out. They didn't have much to play.
It's like it's this.
They just leaned into Rolling Stones covers.
Yeah, that won't lead us astray.
No. Okay, here we go. You heard the title.
And they say it a lot, so... There's two ways you can take this song, apparently. One is a very outdated and now declassified version of describing someone with Down syndrome. And the other way is racist. you've got a 50-50 shot.
Take your pick.
It's for everyone.
Have at it. You want, and yeah, you're like, oh... And that's another, I don't know if that just, their image, Devo's image, comes across as, nerds, so I'm assuming they're smart.
Yeah.
And I think there's also satire in there, but you're like, oh, there were other ways.
There were other ways.
Come on, guys, you're smarter. And Devo's smart, too.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Yeah, they're smarties, so.
Smarty pants.
You know, yeah, I wonder sometimes if, artists are being, they think they're too clever. And they're actually just being slightly racist or just being, you're just a bunch of white guys. So maybe this isn't your torch.
I mean, that's the thing is you start, I think they start to realize, or maybe they don't, but we start to realize that it was they wrote for what they knew and for the people that they knew. And they only knew straight white guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Who were into... either these types of jokes or apparently lots and lots of young girls.
Yep.
Is that a Devo thing?
Oh, no. I'm looping in everything. I didn't want to leave that off the hook.
That is not a tale I heard about Devo.
I've not heard that.
No.
They're like some girls.
Mark Mothersbaugh can get it.
He can reel it in. He's burning it up.
Lols.
All right. Again, this is one of the songs I was talking about. It came out in 1977. I was 13, so I didn't have any problem with this song then. And this is back to Kiss.
No.
Christine.
Okay.
Oh,
16.
Big time.
It rhymes.
It rhymes. But even if even Christine 19 is still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's no good rhyme with Christine.
You know when he wrote Christine 16, that's got to be a song.
You did it again, Gene.
Thank you.
Another awesome first draft.
It comes naturally. The girl's your age.
Even school? I've got to have you.
Is this sung by the character in The Black Phone? And then he just throws her in the back of the van. Okay, what were you going to say, Molly?
Was this a popular song on the radio?
Well, yes, yeah, this was a hit song.
I think it was a little bit before my time, so I didn't have context for the popularity of it. So I've never actually really heard this song, I don't think. Oh, no. But yes, super creepy.
I usually don't say things like this to girls your age. Well, you know what? Stop right there.
Yeah, stop.
Let's
just stop right there.
You know what? If you you don't usually do, let's not start now.
Yeah, now's not a good time. No, right in front of the school, for God's sake.
Yeah, right in front of the school.
But when he says, I have to have you,
I've got to.
So you're going to own her in some way, the 16-year-old girl that you picking up after school? I mean, that is creepy. That's so creepy.
Just in parentheses, it's Christine 16, and then in parentheses, grooming. Is what it says.
For my cult. I just have, you know, 16-year-old girls in the basement.
Oh my God.
I have not, I don't want to say enjoyed, but it's worth commenting that for at least half these songs, Molly has had resting aghast face.
It's shocking.
Yes. It is shocking. It's just because she's thinking, what kind of music do my friends listen to?
No, I mean, I have obviously a context for Kiss, but I wasn't like super into them in a way where I've, like, sometimes you just listen to music. I mean, for half these songs, I don't know about you guys, I'm just learning now, like we were talking about before, that, oh my God, I had no idea what this song was about.
Yep.
Anyway.
Now
shocking.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back to Molly.
Okay, well, I'll take it. I mean, this song almost makes me cringe just talking about it, too, which is Take a Walk on the Wild Side by, you know, a rock legend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're at a time now where I think this is hopefully getting played less and less, but I read online somewhere that it was supposedly supposed to be like a love song to Lou Reed used to date, you know, trans women.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was supposed to be somewhat of a love song, but I mean, I think today it just feels really insensitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like really insensitive, you know. It feels like Ricky Gervais. Have you guys seen
it's like
I'm an artist and I'm gonna talk about this, but it's like,
well, even Dave Chappelle is like this.
Yeah, totally. Like, but I feel like with Dave Chappelle it felt more like, you know, I'm Dave Chappelle, I'm gonna talk about what I want to talk about, whereas Ricky Gervais didn't have to really step into that, but he's like, no, I want to step into it. Yeah. This is my time.
And
I was like, why are you doing this?
You don't have to anger everyone all the time.
Yeah. It's not funny. So
focus on Mel Gibson.
Talk more about your animals that you're saving. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what's amazing about Ricky Gervais. He's like so, you know, he's so much about animals.
I know.
And then He
doesn't have the same humanity for humans.
Sometimes those people are like, they're so all in on animals that they forget that, hey man, I'm here.
Yeah, totally. It is. It's a weird dichotomy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's walk on the wild side.
Oh boy.
Walk on the cringy side.
That should have been, that's the title of this, Walking on the Wild Side.
Such a great bass line.
I mean, it's a fantastic song.
Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs and then he was a she. She says, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side.
Sadly, it sounds great.
Well, it's just a fantastic, you know, musical composition.
Yeah.
But in the back room, the term Take a Walk on the Wild Side was supposed to be this idea that when you slept with a trans woman, it was like a wild ride, you know, because it was something more than you expected. So even the term Take a Walk on the Wild Side is a bit.
I'm not going to solve the problem.
Yeah.
But
of the world.
Okay. But I'm sure gonna try.
That's why we're here. Yeah.
Oh, well, great. Well, then maybe I will.
You can go.
Okay. No, I was thinking about this and thinking like what you said for the context of it, that he may have meant it like a love song and stuff like that. And you come to realize it was like with this and like Ricky Gervais and all this type of things, where it's like, I think part of the problem is that the voice is not the people who are impacted.
It's not for you. It's not for you, dude.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's like oh, great, a love song. It's like, what would be awesome? I'm not saying you have the power to do this, Lou Reed, but it was like, what you're going to do is like amplify their voices so that they can advocate for themselves.
Totally.
And then you don't have to be like, yay, that white guy did it again.
No, but and we're picking on white guys. I'm sure there are lots of.
You do not have to apologize. But, it's been going great for us so far, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's such a like. I'm get a chance to be Karen today, so I'm just going to take it.
Go for it.
I just, you know, I see these white privileged men, and I just see them just loving to hear the sound of their own voice, you know, and...
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Well, I actually, as luck would have it, I have some cultural diversity.
Nice.
I have some prominent black artists.
We love that.
Next.
All right. All right.
I believe you've heard of A Tribe Called Quest.
Mm-hmm. Heard of
one of the best hip-hop rap artists out there.
Sure.
Seminal. Their cringy one comes from The Low End Theory, which is a masterpiece. However, it is cringy not for gross reasons. So this is a bit of a palate cleanser.
Okay.
This one
Sorbet.
Is about a sky pager. As in the pager you wear... Like we used to wear.
We used to wear. Okay. Right.
And throughout the album, they often, you know, like any album, especially rap albums, we'll talk about, like, they talk about Arsenio Hall and they talk about pagers quite mm-hmm. a bit. But it always makes me laugh. There was like, there's a whole freaking song about a sky pager. And right from the beginning, the opening lyrics, I'm like, nope. So we play it and I'll say, nope.
All right. I'm going to turn it up so we don't miss a thing. Yeah, because I was wondering why this one was cringy. And now I understand.
Because
now
you're like,
you've explained it to me.
Oh. Go for it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Do you know the importance of a sky pager?
Not anymore.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
What? What is that?
Those who don't believe, see you late behind. Got a sky pager on all the time. Hurry up and get yours, because I got mine.
Especially is Sky the brand?
I think so. See, that's the thing, is it's a million years ago.
It's 30 years ago, but it sounds like it's a million years.
You're saying it's cringy just because it's outdated.
Yes.
Like right. like filming a film and talking
yes.
about MySpace.
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
That's my thing, right? Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah,
like,
okay, yeah.
Mike's thing. At times I'm Mr. Baker, so you don't get. But that's kind of it.
Or when you watch a rerun of Seinfeld and he lifts up the phone and pulls the antenna out yes. in his apartment.
It's that.
It's crazy.
Well, and it's also just like that element of like so much of that album holds up. And I mean, even that song musically still holds up. But there's just this part that makes me always wrongly laugh at the album.
Yeah.
Do you know the importance of a sky pager? I'm like, not anymore.
No.
25 years late.
You mean when we were commercial auditioning in Chicago? Like, what?
Yeah. I mean, they tell you all about, it could be a time capsule. So we have that. But
it's
one of the things that like takes me out of the album for different reasons than, say, the nude reasons.
Yeah. Also, it seems like an advertisement for Sky Pager.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, really selling me hard.
They really love it. They really love it.
We'll name it because we know this technology's lasting forever, you guys.
Are they trying to get sponsorship for their tour in 1991?
I think so.
I don't know. You know, it's like, I think it was sort of like a status thing. So it was like, yeah, they talk about it. And it's still, even that song still has some great parts on of them talking about riding the bus, and you know, it's like a status symbol, but it's just
but
funny how it's like
the bus is something that people do.
People still do that.
That's
a normal activity.
It's like if you watch the movie Running Man now, which is set in the future, but there's still like a scene where he has to like go get a Pepsi and he's got to put coins in, and you're like, oh well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not how it went.
And if you're going to write in the future, maybe he just like scans his thumbnail and gets a Pepsi or something.
Yeah. Nope, just a classic old logo Pepsi machine.
Yep, just, they don't even change the logo to make it
George Washington quarters, please.
So it's like that. It's just those things where you're like, oh, well.
Yeah.
You can't win them all.
You can't.
There's like 11 other awesome songs.
I mean, to be fair, they really loved their pagers.
I'm not saying they didn't, and I'm not saying it wasn't worthy.
Yeah.
But now going on 20 years later,
they made so many more connections.
The importance of a sky pager.
All right. This song is from 1980, and it was in the Billboard's top 100 of 1980. And I hate this song.
Okay.
The artist is Benny Mardones, and this song is called Into the Night. And maybe you have heard it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Because it was in the top 100.
Yeah, right?
Oh, I hate it.
Sounds great.
And it starts right up with...
About pagers again?
Mm.
She's just 16.
Damn it!
Right away. Right there. He said, please stop touching our daughter.
Yeah. Leave her alone.
Leave her alone.
Separated by fools who don't know what
This is so gross.
You're waiting for it to get better and it doesn't.
It's just, it's
I'm pretty sure you're talking about boners, right?
It's a kidnapper song. It's another kidnapper song.
Oh, kidnapper.
So bad.
Don't worry about thinking with your woman mind. You're like, oh, God. I am now really enjoying how quickly, like, everybody lays their cards on the table in these songs.
Right away.
It's like,
yeah.
She's only 16. It's like it's four syllables in. And like,
she's
got
only
it.
Four wow. seconds old. What? Too soon.
Since I knew your grandma, I knew we'd be together. Got any songs about pagers?
Molly's next song, I must never have listened to the lyrics of this song.
I know, because it's going to blow your mind.
It is going to blow my mind.
It blew my mind.
So, but get ready to blow our minds.
Okay.
And everyone else, off. Go ahead, set it up. You want to set it up?
No, just do it.
All right. So far, I like it.
Yeah.
So far, so good.
So did we hear the offensive part?
Yeah, I mean...
Walk me through
this. So
yeah, walk me through it too, because I'm missing something. And I know, like, if you're really familiar with the song, then you can hear every line, but like, yeah. I know some of my songs...
I'm also familiar with it. I'm too familiar with it, so I'm just...
Yeah, so
the
I'm
whole song is this gentleman begging this girl to basically have sex with him.
Eileen,
and he's talking about, oh, how she's grown since they knew each other when they were kids, and now she's like a lady.
Okay. Oh.
And the whole chorus is, come on, Eileen, I'm down on my knees, like, let's fuck. Right.
Did he try to page her?
That's the important.
Let's fuck. Oh, boy.
The whole song is about that.
Yes.
All right.
I never put two and two together.
Me neither.
No.
It sounds like a song that your grandmother would dance to at a wedding.
Well, I danced that song too many times in front of my parents. And like.
Well, that's a sneaky one, too, because even now listening to it with these amazing headphones.
Oh, thank you very much.
I like his accent is such that he's not that last guy who was like, you're just 16, you know, a sophomore.
Yeah, it's a bit lost. I mean, the lyrics themselves are a bit lost if you're not really looking at the words.
But so it's almost like
nobody knows that.
Really could have just cut this out.
Yeah, but with all of
sing
these
gibberish.
Songs, it's like the songs are so freaking good. Yeah. Why'd you have to ruin it with this weird pedophile thing?
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good song.
So Dexy's Midnight Runner, like in the studio, and they're like, guys, we got it. It's this, I can tell you, solid gold. And it's like, I got one cherry on the top for you. trust me on this, folks. We're going to add one last little vocal panache for us. And I was like, you did it.
Cherry on top, pun intended.
Gross. Oh, man.
I took it too far.
Great. Now I can ruin every road trip.
No, I mean, I think the Rolling Stones took it too far.
Yeah. They're sadly underrepresented.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll use one as a playout song today. Maybe five.
I don't have as much context for their
holy smoke.
Canon, if you will.
Holy crap.
We'll take the long drive home and I'll play you through the whole thing.
I'm good.
What do you want, stupid girl?
Or how about your next song about a girl?
Oh, my next song about a girl. Which also, laying cards on the table here.
Immediately.
We're going back to Liverpool. This is Ringo Starr post-Beatles.
Yep.
And this is another one that I was like, I don't want to make excuses for it, but it feels like, oh, here's a guy who grew up on like Elvis and Chuck Berry and mm-hmm. like rock music for teens.
Wait a minute.
It's got to be about teenagers.
Elvis, who groomed his first wife, yeah. And Chuck Berry, who lots of stuff.
Super creepy. So, I mean, we understand how we got here.
That was his middle name, Chuck Lots of Stuff Berry.
Yep.
Okay, bad choices. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Still no good. Anyone from then.
But I mean that, like, you could almost make the excuse that it is. I'm making teenage music, but at this point, I think he's like a 30-year-old man making teenage music. So already you're like, dude, come on, dude. So this is, you're 16.
What else about her?
She's beautiful.
And?
She's mine.
All right. Nice. Okay.
Keep your hands off him, Uncle Charlie.
I hope she's branded. Somebody will steal her.
Don't let Cousin Dupree see her.
You come on like a dream. Peaches and green.
Right.
Like strawberry wine.
Really?
You're 16. You're beautiful.
And you're a baby.
You're all ribbons and curls. Who what a girl. Eyes that sparkle and shine. You're 16. You're beautiful. And you're mine.
Okay, I have to look up to see if Ringo sings this song now.
Sure.
This is Ringo.
Did I not say Ringo?
Okay, yeah, you did. Yes. But then we talked about
Paul,
and a bunch of other people.
Did you think you thought it was Nugent?
No, I thought for a second that it was the other one that married his cousin. They were just talking about
Elvis.
Jerry Lee Lewis. No.
It kind of sounded like Jerry Lee Lewis.
I mean, there's a lot of piano in it, sure.
Okay, no. This is set list from last night.
Oh,
I'm scrolling ever so slowly.
Here we go.
I don't want to see it. It couldn't possibly be in here. He couldn't possibly do it. Almost to the end.
This is...
He doesn't do it.
He should update it to like your 6T.
Yeah. You're 6D.
You're 6T. You're beautiful.
Which would still be 20 years younger for him.
Yeah, I mean, you're still going that direction. Yeah. So, okay, you can feel still young.
Oh, my God. You're 6D.
And I just realized...
I love that.
Funny.
Christine! 6D! Yeah! Yeah!
It also reminds me...
When I saw you coming out of the retirement home...
I got to help you down those steps.
You were still talking, Philip.
I was going to say, listening to it start off in the context of all these other songs, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, he's a Beatle, so he has like, even if he's just Ringo, he still has that like residual pop music genius that was like, oh, he knows enough not to lead with "You're 16." He like... can still paint a picture, but then like there his powers do him poorly because it's like you're all peaches and cream and ribbons and bows. You're like, oh no,
you're eating a lollipop.
Just say she's 16 and be done.
You're learning math.
Oh my God. Driver's permit.
Playing hopscotch.
Nah.
All right.
Oh my God.
This song it's Kiss again. It's just nonsense.
You are really coming down on Kiss today.
It's just nonsense because the song is called Domino. That's the girl's name.
Oh, I used to love Domino. I really did. I remember.
The song?
I remember they did it, if you remember.
In the Unplugged.
In the late 90s, they were on Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And they did a couple songs live.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole show was kind of like a Kiss show, and it was very funny, and it was fun to see. And I remember it was when I worked in a music store, and my friend who worked there was a huge Kiss fan, so we were very excited. We showed it in the store, and it was great. And yeah, they played Domino, and I'm like, this song, 19-year-old me freaking loves this song.
Yeah, yeah,
listen
to
this growl.
This is great.
Yeah.
So it starts out, and he's, the first thing Gene says is... Well, he like sets up the store, and then
by the way, like all these, they're not just Kiss songs, aren't they? All exclusively Gene Simmons songs that you're picking too.
He's a creep.
Okay, good.
Okay, so, and then I'm gonna jump ahead to another point in the song.
Okay.
Here we go. Molly. Here you go.
Let me tell you my story. I've got a man-sized predicament. And it's a big one. Goes like this. Yeah.
So he's got a man-sized predicament, and it's a big one. And it's all about this girl, Domino. And then this part just, It's just it cracks me up, but it's so bad, and it's so, I shouldn't be laughing, but here we go.
Here we go. My lawn here we in go. Your fireplace.
Here we go.
Every damn time I walk through that door, it's the same damn thing. That bitch bends over, and I forget my name. Ow.
It's just so stupid. There's a radio edit I used to have. I thought I still had it because I would have played them together. But he says, he doesn't say that bitch bends over. He just goes, girl bends over, forget my name. It's just like he didn't even try. He didn't even try the same cadence. He just, like, he so didn't want to make forget a radio version. It's just like, it's ridiculous.
You didn't even get to, call me sugar daddy.
Yeah. Max, she got me by the balls. Yeah, Domino.
Imagery.
Domino might be of age. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so aggressively.
It's just so aggressively, yeah.
Hey.
And the braggadociousness of the being, he's got a man-sized predicament. It's a big one. Of course it is, Gene. Yeah. Of course it
sure
is.
Name.
And it's way bigger than your predicament.
Now, I gotta tell you, Molly is closing out festive and classic with our next one.
I can't. Oh, yes. Well, you know, as we were talking in the beginning, the 50s, and I think this was like 54, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, there were just wasn't what we would call consent, you know, happening.
Yeah.
A lot of times in general. Didn't really matter. This one, though, you've heard it. You've loved it. You've sung along.
Everybody.
There's a million versions of it.
Yes.
Everybody has covered this song.
Yeah,
I've covered it.
And you can cover it. Now, why did you pick this specific version? Is it excessively cringy?
No, I mean, they're all the same. They're all
right.
But
it's a more recent one, right?
Yeah, 2014.
I mean,
yeah,
you knew.
I have so many versions of the song.
Yeah,
I got Rod Stewart singing it with Dolly Parton. I mean, I got tons.
Everybody. I mean,
but this is Idina Menzel.
It means Christmas.
Christmas till grandma gets run over by.
Thank you. I just literally went on YouTube and just picked one. I just picked one. Yeah, right. I mean, I was gonna do Dean Martin, but I love Dean Martin, so I thought I'd keep him out of
it. So you went after the woman.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Hold her responsible.
His is creepy because he's boozy.
He's so, but I'm obsessed with that about him. Yeah. So I'm like, he's charming. He's not rapey.
The thing about the Dean Martin one, he could convince you to stay.
Oh, he totally convinced me to stay.
Doubt.
I'm like, wait, you don't want me here? But I want to stay. And he's like, Molly, I think.
But it's cool now. It's cool now.
Take a coat.
Yeah. Get out of here, will ya?
Take a coat.
You got a bunch in the bag.
So is, in this version, is Idina Menzel trying to get him to stay?
Oh,
I think there is a like a famous one of that.
Baby, oh, no. By the way, if it's reversed, the guy stays immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say there is a version. Is it, what's the Zooey Deschanel group? It's like
Him and Her.
Him and Her or something.
Yeah. I forget what it is.
Yeah. It's two short words.
Yeah.
But I want to say that's one where they did reverse the roles because they were like,
right,
we have to do this song because it's a Christmas album.
Yeah.
But
let's reverse
it. Isn't it crazy? Will anybody ever just say, we don't have to do the song?
No.
No.
I'm gonna look
like,
it up.
Well, if we switch genders, it that makes it fine.
This evening is big. How about two guys singing it then? Or two girls singing it? How about that?
Yeah, if it's two guys, it could be like the mafia version.
Hey,
I really should go. I don't think so. It's pretty cold outside.
bad things happen out there where you take your car. It'd be a shame. Something happened to it.
Okay, I got Barry Manilow singing with K.T. Osland.
Be ashamed.
I got Dean Martin. I got Garth Brooks and his wife.
Everybody.
James Taylor. Lyle Lovett. Martina McBride. Ray Charles.
The Obamas.
Sasha Malia.
Take your hat. Your hair looks swell. Mind if I'm moving closer?
I mean,
what's the sense of hurting my pride?
I was going to say something really inappropriate.
Baby, don't
you?
It's made me horny.
The funny thing, and I'm doing the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Because I think the way that song has lived on, besides just being like this classic tune,
it's a great duet.
Is that you're you're coming in assuming that they are a couple in some way.
Yeah.
Right? So you have your rom-com brain going.
Definitely.
Right.
So, like, that's how everybody makes it right in their mind.
Yeah.
But then when you really hear it, you're like, I'm assuming
I don't have context for that.
Lot.
Yeah, totally.
But it could be the other way.
Yeah.
Short song the other way.
Yeah. Now I have the Lola Falana Bill Cosby version. Should I play that one?
No.
No? Okay.
Hard pass.
I can't stay.
I had him doing the female part too.
I can't stay with the cold outside.
Terrible impression of Bill Cosby.
Spot on.
It's coming
I thought
back,
he was in the room.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you mind if I stayed? Because it's cold. It's July.
Camille's got a big deal.
But there's like a July breeze.
That's how
it
works. Okay, that's the bit, is it's two Bill Cosbys singing to each other. Everyone's got to do all that.
Yeah, that's fine.
They'll just keel over at the end. Like, that's it for you.
I'm not even going to attempt a Bill Cosby accent, but I want to. Like, that's...
Why would you? We nailed it.
No room for you.
I couldn't tell if when I stopped talking, if you started.
You heard that. You heard my incredible Ringo Starr earlier.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I'm in a...
Now, your last song, this is another one right out of the gate.
Yeah, so I...
When your mark gets set, this cringe.
A terrible setup. I dedicate this song to my wife because, like, these guys were a mainstay of, like, us driving in the car when we were kids.
Okay.
Like, we both grew up in Illinois, and, you know, you had oldies radio and stuff. And so, like, I remember when we were in our 20s and we bought, like, the greatest hits of this artist, and we're like, this sounds exactly like, you know, driving in the car and dad having a radio.
It reminds you of a time and place.
Exactly. And slowly but surely, you know, we'd play it and we're like, what's happening in the song? and I'm talking about Gary Puckett and the Union Gap. They're a pop group from the 60s, and pound for pound, I mean, we had a lot of Kiss on here. We've talked a lot about the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Gary Puck and Union Gap are not, like, at that level, but, like, what they lack in output, they made up for in their, like, pound-for-pound Creepsville for their hits.
Oh, boy.
Like, that is their lane. So here are some of the songs.
Okay.
Which, like...
Oh, right, we got a list. I love it.
I had to, because, like, the thing is, when my wife would skip one song, it was like, oh, shit. Skip.
Oh, shit. Another,
like,
cringe bomb.
What's going on? Cringe grenades.
You're just like, did he just say cross burning? Did he say cross burning?
It's so woman doesn't. I don't know how woman it is or how consensual she is.
Okay, got it.
Lady Willpower.
That can't go anywhere good.
God.
Don't Give In is almost a warning.
Oh, it is.
Daylight Stranger is about, like, oh, we saw each other and we can't see each other again because, you know, we got caught this one time, but you're so young and beautiful. there's Let's Give Adam and Eve Another Chance, which is cringy for a whole other reason. Because all of a sudden you're like, are we bringing that in?
Are you sexualizing?
No, it's actually kind of worse. It's like legitimately like God was powerful. And you're like, wait, dude, what? This girl is a woman now with lyrics such as this girl walked in dreams, playing in a world of her own. This girl was a child existing in a playground of stone. Then one night her world changed. Her life and her dreams were rearranged. God. And she would never be the same again. That's not even the song I picked.
Song about her period.
I was going to say he turned her into a vampire.
It's
like
best
that.
Case scenario.
That would be amazing.
Lestat.
But that's not
Lestat.
But that's not what I picked. I picked, like, track one, song one from their every greatest hits they ever do, which is called Young Girl.
Oh.
Okay. Here we go.
I was wondering when they'd get to it.
Get out of my mind. My love for you is
Elvis also?
Line.
Do this song?
Oh, it sounds kind of like in his wheelhouse. No, I mean, points for acknowledgement, but...
Yeah.
With all the charms of a woman.
Oh, no.
You can't see it if you're listening, but Philip did a very creepy face.
He did.
It suits it. Just...
Let me to believe you're
waterfall.
Oh, yeah.
It always
great
is.
Point. Yeah, yeah.
So. Pour one out for Gary Puckett.
Wow.
The king, pound for pound, of just creepy hits.
Wow.
If you wanted a creepy hit, you're like some, you know, I picture like that Brill Building type scenario where it's like pounding out pop songs where it's like, we got another one about seeing some girl on the playground. I was like, get Gary on the phone. That's this thing.
That would be great if his album was called Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, number one creepy hits.
Oh, that's like a Halloween album, but oh no.
Oh no.
I still remember. It puts me in two places. One is like being a kid listening to the radio in the back seat as my parents are driving, and then flash forward to like me and my wife in the kitchen playing like the oldie station.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like slowly like making more eye contact with each other. It's like we're both hearing what we're hearing, right?
I can totally see.
We grew up with this, right?
It's like, I'm a teacher. I don't think I can listen to
so, this. I think I have to mandatory report this song.
You two did that. Like, this song just stops the big chill doing dishes dance.
Yes.
It just ends.
Yes.
You're just like.
It is.
Wait. What?
We're all singing. We're all hearing what we're singing. Yep. No. Okay. Let's find another one. Yeah. It just. As soon as you pitched, as long you've been pitching this topic for so long,
yeah,
this was the first song I thought hilarious. Of. Yeah. Like, it's gotta
everyone's
be
everyone's got one. Everyone's got the one you go to. Boy. But this was great. We played 18 cringy hits.
Yeah.
And after we do some promotion of our individual endeavors, I'm going to play out with a song that the Stones actually have dropped from the set list. Just this year.
Oh, really?
It took them 52 years to drop it, but they finally did.
So are we saying we're making it through this cringy, uncomfortable thing with no discussion of AC/DC, which is also saying something.
Well, Pat had it real in for Kiss, gave up like all of his songs.
I did.
That was
I did.
Yeah.
Okay. Drive 3 of my 6 were Kiss. Yeah. I should have gone in on AC/DC, who I love, but yeah.
No, but if you know, like if you have your resources and it's like, if we really had to like, if we were going to go after somebody, yeah, Gene's probably.
Well, I think it does speak to the fact that there are so many songs we could cover. It's like, where do you start? I mean, I just started with people I listen to often, you know, and worked from there. But we could do another 25 million hours on this.
Yeah, there's so many. And there's so many cringy rap lyrics right now.
Yeah, we didn't even touch rap. I don't think we should.
Not even rap. Like, even like, who am I thinking of? Like, Nicki Minaj has some super cringy lyrics to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
So.
But, yeah, and I was careful with picking that sort of stuff. The Sky Pager one, notwithstanding. But I was like, I feel like there's a lot of things I was like, okay, I don't want to really talk about that.
Right. And that makes sense.
A whole bunch of other, like, on the other end of like racist stuff from white guys.
Oh yeah. Singing totally.
Stuff. So I'm like, I think we all know that, but this is way more our like,
I think it's more fun to look at really popular songs that, you know, that we all sing along to in the kitchen while we do dishes and go, oh my Christ, this is horrifying.
These are songs in my iTunes library. Yes. So it's not like I like did a Google search of evil cringy songs.
Nope. Evil song.
Top 50 most played or like, oh, there they are.
Yep.
It wrote itself.
I mean, I could have brought in a lot more Ramon songs, obviously, but I didn't really want to shame them. Because I love them.
They're shamed enough.
They're shamed
enough. The fact that you guys were willing to each bring one in shows that you guys are true fans because you can see them for the good and sometimes the bad.
We've definitely picked them apart enough to know what their weaknesses are and what their strengths are.
Yeah. Yep. We had to.
I mean, we could do another two seasons on the Ramones, but don't make us.
I still think you got to pick another band and go in on it again.
Ramones too.
No, Philip's got his novels now.
Yeah.
He doesn't need me anymore.
He's got his YA novels.
My YA novels that slowly get creepier as you're reading them. Like, what am I reading?
Listen, I don't care if you're only 13.
To the first line.
Chapter 2, Young Girl. Molly, tell us where we can find you on the internet and when your show is again and all those good things.
Thanks for asking, Pat. You can find me on social media at Molly Ann Hale, spelled M-O-L-L-Y-A-N-N-H-A-L-E.
It's a funny name.
It's funny. It's hilarious. I'm at the Glendale Room just a ton these days.
And are you booking it?
I'm booking the Dahlia Comedy Show.
Okay.
That's a monthly show, mm-hmm. the first Saturday of every month.
All right.
I'm booking that with my co-producer, Serafina. We have fantastic comics. They are some of the funniest comics in LA in a very cozy little nook in Glendale.
It is really beautiful.
It is a beautiful spot. And we also run and produce the Wednesday open mic. So if you want to come try 5 minutes in front of a very nice audience, then come on down.
Don't be afraid, people. Get up there. Yeah. You can do it.
Shake you can it do loose. It. Burn it up.
Do those Bill Cosby impressions.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Great. Yeah. And if the audience is bad, I got a good comeback for you. You just say, fuh you.
Fuh you. You don't know me. Fuh you.
Did he just... That's so confusing.
What about you, Philip? What are you working on these days?
Thanks, Molly. I'd love to tell you. I have a couple books. One is about to come out this November. They are mystery novels in the Psychic Barber Mysteries series. They are about a woman who is a hairstylist, but she has psychic abilities, and she keeps touching heads of people and seeing either dead bodies or bodies in danger. When will she stop? I guess you'll find out when I run out of ideas. But
it's a great series.
The Homicidal Hairstyle of the Viral Video Vixen is out this November, and it'll be, I'm arranging it to have one of those deals where like the first book is either free or very cheap, like a digital copy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, if you like that, then
there's
come
more.
On down.
Yeah, it's like the Fletch books.
Yes. Timely.
Very timely. Well, it kind of is because this week the new Fletch movie comes
out. Are you kidding?
Yeah, with John Hamm is Fletch.
Oh, that is kind of awesome.
And it's
right?
based on
We're
the first book.
About this? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Confess Fletch was the first book, and that's the movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It had me interested in Fletch for the first time. Fletch was a little ahead of my time.
Oh.
And so I was never like,
right. I was super into it.
Really?
Yeah, I was.
All right. Well, here we go. We'll see.
We shall see.
But yeah, you can find me there. Just look up Philip Murderous Haircut, and that'll probably. There's very few Philip.
And Twitter?
About that. Twitter at Philip Mottas.
MOTTAZ.
AZ.
We are at Rock Solid Show. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. Everything is there, episodes, t-shirts, whatever. So with that, thank you, Molly.
Thank you,
Philip. Because seriously, you guys drove all the way out here on a Sunday afternoon. You took time away from your family and you took time away from your Karening. And
no, I came here to get more of my Karening on.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys
thank you
making
for
the trip.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So this is going to drop pretty quickly because I like when you guys have been on and people love it.
Oh, good.
And I just want to say, if you like Rock Solid, give this man a like. Throw him a few shekels.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Reviews
count.
Patreon.com/RockSolidPodcast. $2 a month. 50 cents a week. Don't be cheapskates.
Yeah, this guy's bringing you content.
Did I do
man.
That right? Did I promote that in a positive way?
Yeah. You could say it was younger.
Yeah. Hey, assholes.
If they don't like it for them.
Yeah.
It's not for them.
And with that, this is a song. Now, I'm going to tell you about this. This song, my 16-year-old nephew was out. He loves classic rock. We were in the car. We had the Sticky Fingers album in.
Yep.
And right off the top, this song is playing. And I said, they stopped playing this in their set list. And he goes, why? It's the greatest song ever. It's so good. And I go, have you listened to the lyrics? And he's like, I think so. And then I started to tell him the lyrics. And he was like, oh, I've never heard. No, I haven't listened to the lyrics at all. So with that, Molly and Philip and listeners, please enjoy Brown Sugar.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back.
Philip, yes. As always, the pronunciation of your last name?
Matas. Like, yeah, not as...
I don't like it. Not as.
Like, it's been hot as hell.
Oh, okay. Matas. Okay.
No, I don't like it.
Try it again.
Let's start it. Let's do it. Let's not waste it.